episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. And welcome, Beachy. Hello. Hello, everybody.
Good day.
You are with Beachy and Verilicious. It's Coast to Coast, and today is 19th of February, 2025. And we have something really fascinating to talk about today, Beachy. It's probably been in the news. We probably use it. Lots of things in regards to what we are going to discuss today. And we are going to be talking about AI, so artificial intelligence.
Huge topic.
It is a very huge topic. So most people would be noticing on their phones, on their computers now, we have OpenAI, which is basically like your ChatGPTs, chatbot, and all that kind of stuff. So is this thing growing? Are we going to become like the Terminator? I don't know. Is it scary? Who knows? Is it exciting? Can be. But it is very fascinating, and I found it very fascinating as I was digging into a little bit about this artificial intelligence. So what is AI? So we've got AI is the ability of a digital computer or computer-controlled robot to perform tasks commonly associated with intelligent beings. So this term is frequently applied to the project of developing systems endowed with the intellectual processes, characteristics of humans. So I'll give you an example. So the ability to reason, discover meaning, generalize, or learn from past experience. So basically, artificial intelligence, they want it to come alive. I think that's the main aim of it. So it wants to become very much like who we are. But now, talking about AI, I actually used Chatbot today to give me an overview of Alan Turing and artificial intelligence. So who was this guy? So Alan Turing, he was a British mathematician and a logician who worked and laid the foundational elements for the fields of computer science and artificial intelligence, as we know as AI. So 1936, Turing had introduced the concept of a universal Turing machine, which is an abstract device that could simulate the logic of any computer algorithm, and it became the cornerstone of computer science theory. So during World War II, Turing played a crucial role in cryptanalysis, contributing to the development of the bomb, spelt with an E on the end, a machine that helped decrypt German messages, significantly aiding the Allied war effort. So Turing's early work in AI included discussions on machine learning and heuristic problem solving, concepts that are central to AI today. So he had envisioned that machines could learn from experience and alter their own instructions as a precursor to modern AI systems. So despite his groundbreaking contributions, Turing's ideas were not widely recognized during his lifetime, partly due to the secrecy surrounding his wartime work and his untimely death in 1954. So how he died, we don't know, but there was a lot of secrecy surrounding all that as well. Yeah. So if we look at the artificial intelligence today, it actually encompasses a wide range of applications from expert systems and natural language processing to robotics and machine learning. So while AI has advanced significantly and achieving human-like general intelligence or strong AI remains a challenge. So Turing's legacy continues to influence the AI research and development, underscoring an enduring presence of his ideas in the quest to create intelligent machines. So one man's vision, Beachy, where did it lead today? Wow. Well, like it's very full on, isn't it?
It's very creep. It's like creep. It's small, tiny steps. Because when I think of AI, like, you know, artificial intelligence, it's to me, it's programming, right? It's what they program in our brains. And to me, when I think of the slow creep, I can go back to, remember, and in college, they used to have crib notes. You would, and in my time, that was frowned upon. But as, you know, as things went along, I think they were kind of became a norm, right? You were tasked to read a book. You didn't have time to do it, so you relied on crib notes. Do you remember that?
That's right. Yeah. And so they're basically a short form of
giving you the answer. Yeah. I mean, it's like answers,
that's correct.
You don't go and figure it out for yourself or think about it and come up with your own conclusions. You get the conclusions that they want you to have, which, you know, that's kind of what we've talked about before. They wanted to create that quote unquote intelligence as far as they wanted it to go. They didn't want us to know about a lot of things. So they direct us, you know, in a particular, you know, point. They point you to where they want you to go. And even when I think about college, because when I was there, I did we had what they called quarter systems, which was 4 sessions a year, as opposed to the 2 sessions that most colleges, or at least, I don't know if what they're doing now, but back then, most colleges were doing 2 semesters, right? You start in the fall, and then you have a summer break. But I had something called 4-quarter system, where you were there all year round, if you wanted to be. I mean, you could take off your summer if you decided to. But it was just so, so fast, and you were trying to absorb so much information. There was just no way. There was just no way. You had so much reading, and, you know, I studied computer science, so that was not really a lot of reading, but it was a lot of, you had projects to do. You had to sit down and write your code and blah, blah, blah. So
with your computer science, though, Beachy, were you doing things like decoding? Coding, I guess, is it what it's called?
Coding, yeah. You wrote programs. And now, like the guy was saying, now the programs are already mostly written for you. You know, you get these, what they call object-oriented programming, is basically you get these modules that you just plug into, so you don't even have to program like we used to program. It's like plugging in, you know, blocks, like and plugging them together. I mean, it's a little more complicated than that, obviously, but it's not the way we used to code. So anyway, but. Yeah, so it like you said, it's just little by little, they're giving you a little bit more. And yeah, I think we are to the point where the computer is writing its own code, basically. But again, somebody had to program it.
That's right.
Originally. So there's still that.
So yeah. We know that Turing, Alan Turing, he was... Oh, I guess you could say he'd be like the founding father of the early work for AI, and mm-hmm. just talking on his crypto analysis and all that kind of stuff and what he was into. And that dated back from 1936, I believe. So it goes a long way. So we just think, oh, you know, maybe AI is it today, all these bot things are today, but it's not. It's actually been in the works for a very, very long time and been introduced slowly, slowly. Because when you look at all our systems today, like we have, there's artificial intelligence in pretty much everything that we have.
Yeah.
So we have smart fridges, smart phones, smart TVs, smart washing machines,
even
smart cars, you know. So
even Google, every day we Google.
That's
instead
right.
Instead of going to the library.
We're relying on the intelligence, the artificial intelligence for memory as well. You know, your fridge will take note of your groceries in there, and then it'll tell you what you need to top up on. Is that spooky? That's pretty groovy. Because what if I don't want to top up on that, you know?
Exactly.
I know one thing that freaks me out Yeah, I know one thing that creeps me out with our TV is when you turn it on, it says microphone is now in use. It's like, what are you listening to exactly? So just little things like that, which we obviously take for granted. You know, people love technology. I'm not going to say that we don't love technology. Technology is amazing. There's some amazing work with technology, but there is the creepy, creepy side to it. And I guess like movies bring that sort of out as well. And, right, you know, right. For me, just watching the last movie, I think it was called, Subservience, where it was that humanoid, robot. It had a creepy factor to it, but that's not new either. Concept. There's been a lot of movies in regards to the humanoid dollies and robots, throughout time. Yeah, but that's crazy. But the other thing I wanted to really look into as well was how AI can make things really come alive. So we're obviously quite visual. People love visualizing things, right? So we're on the phones all the time. We're probably looking at screens 24/7, basically. We don't really shut that off because we get caught in that net of wanting to scroll or see what's next and continue on. So these things that are capturing our interests, and obviously these things will follow algorithms and will bring up, whether it's our phone or computer screen, it will bring up things that we like to see and will personalize, and track.
It's addictive. Exactly what you're
looking at, you know, remember exactly. Obviously, it's got some endorphins in there.
Oh, yeah. Like the casinos, you know, the little noises. And, you know, we get all these little hits. We get likes or we get followers or we get even just somebody responding to our posts, right? It's like it keeps pulling you back in. And then if they respond back, then, you know, next thing you know, you're, you know, 2 hours later, you've got...
Yeah,
you've had this conversation.
Appealing to that side of us as well, you know, that appealing to that side where we
to connect,
gratitude, where we want to be known, we want to be liked. That side, that, you know, that feel good side of us. Someone to give you a pat on the back and go, you know, that's really great. All that sort of stuff. So they're the feel good things that we want to continue having, but we know that that sort of stuff is short lived. So let's look at today. So with today that we can make AI come alive thanks to technology and websites like RenderNet AI. I will post this up in our – so on Discord we have a show chat, guys. So Beachy can see like what things that I've researched and searched on, and we pop it up. But if I give you guys the website, you guys can actually have a look at some of these things yourself. So I will make reference to a few things, and if you want to have a look at it, please do so and use Google Gemini as another bot there for you. So RenderNet.ai. So this is a site that brings stories alive with AI characters. Now, I had seen a few years ago what was called MetaHuman, and they were basically showing us on television that they can make up people that look real, that sound and look real, but they weren't actually real at all. They were all generated by artificial intelligence technology. And the first time we recognized this was during the pandemic days, where people were glued to the screens, and, you know, news feeds were coming up, certain things were coming up. And I did start to notice really strange things. And I was questioning it, thinking, is there something wrong with my brain? Or am I seeing something that they're posing here that they're trialing out? So you would have someone talking about something and it was like they didn't look quite right. Their movements weren't quite right, the way they move, their mouth, they're just the look. And it's like, that person cannot be real. So I searched into like, you know, all this sort of stuff, and I came across MetaHumans, and they are being created by artificial technology. So RenderNet.ai is one of the ones where you can create yourself stunning images and videos starring your own custom designed virtual human. a virtual human. So now we don't even know if the person who is on screen, whether it is on our phones or whether it is on television or our computer screens, whether or not they are actually real or whether they are virtual. So that's pretty scary, isn't it? When you think about how much they're using the AI, because I mean, not too long ago, everyone was talking about deep fakes and there was doubles and people wearing masks. We'll find out in a minute.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation
or your affiliation
on truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
You are back on truthmeets.com and it's Coast to Coast, 19th of February 2025. It is Beachy and Verilicious and we are talking about artificial intelligence today. Beachy, I've just put up some screenshots of some of the artificial intelligence we are going to talk about. So let me talk about how we can create these images and videos starring your own custom designed virtual human. Now, that's quite creepy when you think about it. So from a picture, you can render an actual virtual person of you, of yourself, that you can make it
so is this like,
look like you.
Is this like Photoshop retouching? Like you could put your face and then make your body look something totally different or, you know.
Yeah, but it's very high tech. Photoshop,
right.
Really, when you think about it.
Well, yeah, you know, I remember, gosh, it's been at least 15 years now. I remember people saying that you could get an app on your phone that and people were saying they were going to use this for their driver's license photos because everybody hates their driver license photo. And so, and this, you can make it look like you look thinner, you know, like your face will go thinner, but you know, obviously in your driver's license, you only have your head, but you know, this reminds me of that technology that everybody was, you know, excited about. But yeah, this is probably on steroids though. Now the technology.
Yeah, it's given it the full pump.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like giving it the full pump. So like being able to create like unique characters instantly. So generating hyper realistic characters in images and videos while ensuring consistent appearance of style and features. Now this is how high tech it's come, right? So you're also generating high quality visuals and videos for any story, project and idea. You can create an AI influencer. You can make your character mimic any pose from a reference photo. You can do perfect lip sync. Now, this particular website has over 25 languages, so you can add the voice to any video and sync it seamlessly with your character. You can also make your skin look realistic. Yeah, and you can add lifelike textures in details to the skin for authentic visuals, and you can storyboard your ideas. So if you just have a look there, Beachy, in the show chat there is a few photos there. These are not real. They look very, very real, like the perfect, you know, that's the perfect woman for any guy, that's the perfect guy for any woman sort of thing. It's crazy just how realistic they look. And you have pages and pages of this stuff. So you can go onto, say, Instagram. I'm not sure about Facebook, but I'll talk about Instagram because I have Instagram. And you can actually follow these virtual models, AI influencers. They're not real. And yet people love them. They want to marry them. I've seen some of the comments on there. That's crazy. It's like, how do you not know that this is not real? These are things that dreams are made of, right? You know, you're dreaming about the perfect girl or the perfect guy. And it's like, yes, these are your dreams coming into reality, but they're not real. They're not real people. They're still, but, you're still
yeah,
in
exactly.
a dream.
Yeah. But there was, this is like, again, this is like visual. I don't know. Do they talk to you? I mean, do they carry on a conversation with you? Is that
so? These part ones of the you package? Can actually, yeah. So not so much. I'll go into the OnlyFans in regards to the ones that talk, and you can communicate with them as well.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. To me, this well, gets it's exciting, show. But also gets more and more creepy.
Yeah, real quick. There was a show that I watched, and this, again, this was a long time ago. This had, because, you know, I haven't watched TV in, you know, at least, maybe about 6 or 7 years, maybe even more. I mean, you know, because, like, I, you know, maybe just tapered down. But anyway, there was a show I was watching, and I can't remember the name of it, but they did have an episode where this person, this single person, and I believe it was a woman, and she got it. It was kind of like when the first, you know, those first, what do you call those, Alexa, and you know, the boxes Siri. That talk to you. You know, yeah, not Siri, but you know, the ones you put in your house and you ask it questions, like, you know, just like Google, you just speak to it. You know, like the Amazon has one, and Google has one.
There's a few now popping up. Yeah.
And so you know, this voice is there. Like it talks. You ask it questions. Well, this person had, you know, one of these little boxes, and it wasn't a visual. It was just someone who was there. So like they would come inside the house when they came home from work, and they would ask it, you know, what's the temperature, or what's the latest news, or, you know, just kind of
music
initially. Yeah. It was just kind of, you know, yeah, low key information. But then as it went on, it was just, it was like, it was your friend, you know, it was like they got very connected to it. And it was like having a real person in the house with you, you know, just to converse with. And it was kind of creepy because, you know, this woman was got very attached to this thing. And I forget what happened that, you know, that they either the machine fell on the ground and broke or something, and they freaked out, and it was like, you know, traumatic. And they realized, you know, that they were like connecting to this, to this, whatever it was, bought, what, you know. But so, but, you know, like these pictures, I mean, there's like the visual, and like I said, if they talk to you, that's just like another step, you know, and who knows,
another level.
You
know? exactly
yeah, next thing,
that's what the movie, I think that's what the movies and the TV show I watched in 2015 was called Humans, where they were the humanoid robots. They looked real, they felt real, but they were actually robots. There was a full series of this, and I actually enjoyed it. It had quite a good storyline with it as well. But going back, that's so from 2015 to now, we are 2025. The movement of humanoid AI robots is very, very fast moving. And we've seen technology move before quite quickly. Now, one of the earliest things I remember, and this is pre-2015, probably would have been going probably early 2000s, D-Train and I were in Thailand, and they had this organic TV, they called it. So what it was, you would walk past this TV screen, and it would like bring out a holographic projection of someone and would stand in front of you. And that was the very first, for me, an experience of a technology. And that would be of artificial technology as well. Very much like Star Trek, you know. You think about your movies, you're like, wow, like everything that you watch, your art coming to life was really coming to life. And they had called these TVs organic TVs. Now, there was a place in Japan. Now, a friend of ours just came back from Japan last year. He was there for about 6 weeks. And he was telling us about these TV screens, very similar, and how much technology moved from when we were in Thailand to now in Japan, he's talking about, that the screens, the advertising would feel like they would come out at you. So he said he'd actually videoed the screen, and it was on top of a building, like a shopping complex. And he goes, look at this. Look at the cat. It looks like it's coming out of the building and, like, coming down onto the people, right? And he said, if you have a look at the screen, it's like a bit of a curved screen. So the technology in all that to make it look super realistic. He even showed me one with where the dragon sort of comes out and wraps itself around the building and all that kind of stuff. That is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. I mean, it would be so amazing to see. And for me, Japan, they love the animation. They really love anything with human and technology combined. If you're into Japanese anime, you will know what I'm talking about. Like, you think about the Ghost in the Shell is probably one of the more well-known ones, because it was Hollywood made it into an actual movie, as in like a real life out of animation. But it's just crazy, like the love that they have for this, from animation now to super realistic way of producing the content. It's just crazy. And for me, even though it looks fantastic, it's great visuals, but how fast does technology move and where is it being applied? It obviously seems like it's being applied everywhere, do you know?
Right.
Again,
like you said, it makes me think about what you were just talking about. Because I remember it, you know, at Disneyland, they used to have I can't remember what they called it, but it was kind of like the technology section where they had all the latest gadgets, and they would show you like they had the screens were all the way around, you know, it's like the screens were like 360 degrees. So it was like you were standing there and it was like, you know, a train was coming right at you, or horses, or, you know, and it was, it felt like they were jumping out, you know, at you, and, you know, people would be like screaming, you know, it was just so, I mean, but that, again, that was extremely primitive compared to what you're talking about now, you know, to the holograms now that they have, they basically the 3D, if you, you know, have ever gone to it, we used to, I mean, I'm sure it's like totally outdated.
Glasses on it.
Yeah, you had to put the glasses on and you didn't see it unless you put the glasses on. But if you took the glasses off, which of course I had to do because I was curious, it was just all blurry, you know, it wasn't, you know, it was like there was multiple pictures. So I don't know what the technology was, but yeah, it felt like they were jumping out at you. But so now apparently they can, because they were saying that the virtual, it's like the, you know, the virtual headsets that people were putting them on, and it was making them nauseous because they were, you know, it was just so disorienting to them, the whole, you know, it just would, I guess, confuse your brain too much. But I haven't seen those come out. Remember the Google glasses and the
The VR virtual reality masks used to wear and used to walk around your house pretending you were sword fighting or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And but like they were saying, you know, we were gonna have these glasses that you would wear and then your computer would be, you know, right there in the air too, you know, that you can look at while you're, you know, out and about walking, and these glasses would, you know, be projecting all this stuff out like it was out into the air. But yeah, that's kind of trippy. And again, it's like that would probably throw you off, you know, like inside your head. Like if you're trying to walk down the street, how are you going to walk and look at your computer? And, you know, I'm guessing it's voice activated. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, it's very much if you watched Iron Man. Yeah, if you watched Iron Man, the screen that comes up when he's actually in the what do you call it? In his costume, everything is on his screen that he can see, where he can read, and he'll talk to the bot, and she will do that as well. What was the TV show? There was a TV show I recently was watching that D-Train had on, Halo. And the same thing, they had a little artificial intelligent, like a robot, which would connect. She would pop up and would talk to them, but she would also be talking to them. And they would talk back, but people would be thinking, who are they talking to, right? Because there was no one there. It was only for them, like it was just visual and hearing for them. But interestingly, there is a movie. So if you guys are interested in looking at a documentary, now it was brought out in 2019. It's called I, Human. A very, very interesting documentary, which I should go back and watch again. I think this is one thing we can see how far, maybe from 2019 when this documentary is made, we can see now in 2025. How far the artificial intelligent technology has progressed. So the synopsis for this documentary was exploring the staggering growth of artificial intelligence across the world. This political documentary thriller takes a closer look at the various challenges it brings to society and the implication it has on privacy and human rights. Features interviews with key players and pioneers within the AI industry. The film look at many ways technology play a role in our daily lives and the danger it poses when it is used to monitor and regulate populations. Providing an insight into what the future might look like, iHuman asks important questions about who should be in control of AI technologies and what interventions may be needed to prevent its overwhelming impact. What does that remind you of? That reminds me of Terminator, when Skynet started taking over. So, anyone who's interested, look it up, iHuman 2019 documentary. Will be interesting to have a look and compare to what's happening today. When you think about all the technology that's going into all the cameras with the artificial intelligence and tracking, face recognition, but even going deeper than face recognition, because people can alter the look, right? So you can have, say, cosmetic surgery, but the basic structure of what you have is underneath all that. So they've got technology to go deeper, penetrating, you know, to basically to our very core. I feel like that's very much another movie, which is Total Recall. Where he was walking through the, and it took a scan of his bones and all that kind of stuff. But it just brings so much more, because now are our lines of reality and fiction going to be blurred because we've introduced artificial technology, or is it going to be there to enhance, regulate what we do in our lives? So this is what they've got to look at. It's like, what are the implications going to be, and who gets to be in control?
I think that's the goal. I mean, whoever these overlords or whatever, it's always about control. And whatever way they can get you distracted off of your mission in life, because if you go on your own path and do things to enhance yourself, you amass your own personal power. And if, you know, because you are reliant only on yourself. And if you're that reliant, like you were saying, you know, you validate yourself, you don't need any external, you don't need to have people validating you. You don't need to have, you know, whatever it is that fulfills you, because that's what you, when you have your personal power, you know what your mission is and you do that, and it takes care of, you know, all those needs that people keep, all these holes that people have that they keep trying to fill with all the excess entertainment and, you know, the porn and the sports and the just drugs, probably, you know, whatever. It just, because you never can fill those holes with these things. You just keep coming back for more. Just like, even if you're, you know, doing things that we think we're supposed to do, like say earning money, you want to keep earning money. You know, you earn $1 million. Well, now you want to earn $5 million. You know, I mean, you just keep going because it's not doing the job. And if you're fulfilled and you're, you know, not seeking external validation, you find your personal power. And the power is you don't need those people who keep saying, you know, we're going to take care of you. We're going to do it all for you. And don't worry, you just go play and have a good time and we'll take care of the rest. That's the control.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Coast to Coast, Beachy and Verilicious, 19th of February, 2025. AI, artificial intelligence. Do we see them like gods? Or are we in control of our own lives? Well, let's find out about how to become an OnlyFans model. What do you think, Beachy? Personally, I don't think that's something I could do. Borderline for me would be almost it's prostitution. But that's, you know, yeah, that's my own thoughts on that.
What about that? Okay, so I'm going to take a quick little detour, which is probably... I'm sure you heard about the woman who, and I don't know if she was OnlyFans or how she got her notoriety, but supposedly she slept with 100 guys in one day. And that was like, everybody was like, and then she decides, well, I'm going to try 1,000, right? And it's like, what is that about?
What is it about? Was she making money? What the hell was going on?
Apparently, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it would seem so. I mean, because if you're, like you said, if you're a prostitute, you know, this is what business is. You know, it's like how to get, you know, productivity, right? You want the most productivity so you could make your dollar, you know, profit, whatever, you know, so. This is what all the businessmen do. They work hard to squeeze out just another dollar of profit. You know, what do? They take shortcuts or they, you know, if you're making a product, you know, you use substandard materials and to cut your costs, but yet you keep your prices the same. So you're making more profit, right? That's what I say, you know, if you, this person is making a lot of money as far as 100 in one day. Well, geez, 1,000, you know, she could.
Yeah, and how's your moral
off,
standards
right?
Then, you know? Exactly. Well, how about this? So we can probably make money without being loose, right?
So you could do it with your virtual.
With your virtual girl. So supercreator.app. So this is the future of content, the debut of AI-generated OnlyFans models. Now, this is a relatively new phenomenon, right? It's taken off, and there is money to be made in this type of business, if you want to call it that. So this actual app... It says you can boost your OnlyFans business by creating an AI-generated OnlyFans model. And then it's like, can AI OnlyFans models make serious money? Yes, they can, apparently. So AI OnlyFans models have the same monetization potential as human models. The key factor for earnings is creating quality content and building an engaged audience, just like any other creator. So,
If you're not actually delivering, you know, flesh, so to speak. It's all coming off your screen. I can't imagine that the OnlyFans today or whatever these girls, they're enhancing themselves, right? They're probably putting extra makeup. They've got their hair, you know, just so they get, you know, the clothing colors, whatever. I'm sure that they're photoshopping, just like they airbrush the magazines. You know, the girls in the magazines back in the day, they were all airbrushed. You know, they've told us that. So, and you can do all that in Photoshop and, you know, whatever these tools are now. Yeah.
But imagine you don't even have to do that for yourself. Like, you don't even have to be the person in there, right?
Right, right.
So you've got this AI OnlyFans models have achieved significant success. So there's one account they've listed here on this actual page. It's called The Realist, the triple R Realist. It's the RRR Realist. Earned up to $15,000 per month selling explicit AI-generated content. There goes the porn industry. See you later. When it comes to real people, they don't need real people anymore. You can generate AI-generated. You can AI-generate all the explicit content now and rake in the money. All you need is to make sure that your content, you've got quality content, you're building an engaged audience, and that's pretty much it, really. Right? So it states that clearly there's a demand for virtual models. With the right marketing and promotion, AI avatars can establish a lucrative OnlyFans account.
Well, you know what I'm going to do?
That's crazy, right? You're going to make an OnlyFans account using AI.
Not an OnlyFans because I don't know what that is. But, you know, I'm thinking for all the people out there who just need somebody to talk to, you know, just somebody to come and tell your problems to, you know, like you do a psychiatrist, but, you know, the psychiatrist, you know, probably prescribes you pills or charges you, you know, a shit ton of money. It's like, you know, you just put out a shingle and say, okay, I'll listen, you know, $25, whatever. I'll listen to you for, you know, and if you want me to say something, or because most of the time people don't even want you to give them advice or even respond. They just want to be heard. They just want someone to acknowledge, you know,
that's the idea of creating some of these accounts, though. Yeah, I mean, like exactly. The pictures I just put up, right? The girl on the water ski, on the jet ski, right? Sorry, mm-hmm. Not the water ski, the jet ski. That's not real. That is all being created digitally to make it look super realistic. And this is actually a marketing firm that's doing all this as well. And they're making money on that type of content. The other one that I put a link to was an account from Instagram, and she's supposed to be a lingerie model, right? But if you have a look at the picture, it's basically the same pose. I changed the background and just changed the outfit, which you can do. So instead of a person getting up, changing clothes, putting different backgrounds, you know, standing in front of the beach or on the balcony or whatever it is, now they're all just being created artificially. The models are created artificially, super realistic, using all the content that I've just said in regards to some of the applications on certain websites. To make your high-quality visuals, your high-quality videos, to make the influencer, your character can mimic any pose, so you can do the poses yourself and then actually mimic the actual pose that you're doing, and you can just generate the videos and bang them out, and you can put them in so many different languages as well.
What exactly are they influencing? Look at what they're selling.
So the different things.
Right. What are they selling? Right. What are you giving them money for? Just to look at them?
Pretty much. Yeah. You'd be creating an account. You'd be creating an account, which you obviously only your fans will have to put money into because they have to subscribe to it, to see what you've got coming out next. So basically you can I guess.
So you're doing a fashion show.
I don't know what the quiz is. Yeah. Yeah. Say I want to do a fashion show, right? And I can do a virtual, I can make up my own virtual model and I can put together my own content and then just put a price on there and say to watch this exclusive content, you'll need to pay X amount of dollars. And people will buy it.
Yeah, pay.
That's crazy. Because
is D-Train, D-Train, is he saying he'll buy it?
Yeah, he doesn't need to buy it. He's got his own model right here.
There you go.
But it is, they are paying for the explicit stuff. That's what it is. And that's the thing that people got to think about, right? It's not just general content here and there willy-nilly. It's the explicit stuff. It's the, like, the deep, dark, dirty little secrets that everybody's like, ooh, I shouldn't be looking at that. It's the pornography that people pretend they're watching in the dark. You know what I mean? In the room, in the, you know, it's, yeah, with all the lights off. Yeah. What are they doing? You know, it's crazy. But it's amazing, okay, like, how much that these guys have actually cottoned on to what money they can make by doing these artificial generated virtual models. So imagine if they started doing that with people now, right?
So you've got your humanoid robots. Yeah.
You've got your humanoid robots. You don't need the models anymore. You've got the
robots that
can do it for you.
Right? I would say the porn dudes, I would say males are the ones who are probably doing this because they know what they want to see and they know their audience. Would you be surprised
if it was women? What about women? Some women know what guys want and they'll know exactly what to put up. They'll know what outfits to put together. They'll know how to style their hair, what makeup to wear, how to look, how busty they want to be, how curvy they want to be. All that kind of stuff. What's to say that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like the people who are doing it are probably not anywhere near what the girls look like, right? it's creepy. It's very creepy. But, you know, I guess if that's the product. Again, I'm saying the influencing, though, to me, it's like, where I see it is if you've got all these guys, you know, looking at these quote unquote perfect women, and then they go out and look at the women, the regular women on the street who are definitely, you know, not always going to look like that. They're just, what is that going to do for them? You know, they're going to be.
But it's fantasy. That's all it comes down to. Fantasy. It's like the fantasy football, right? Guys that get really into it, they're thinking they're going to manage a football team. They're going to do it in real life, but they'll do it in fantasy football. So we're basically living out our dream in reality, but a virtual reality.
Okay. Here's another thing I remember hearing about. So, I mean, to me, I see this as another way to, you know, get in the way of people's relationships. Because if you're, you know, for example, like this is what I had heard a couple of guys talking about, you know, with the AI and the dating services, which, you know, getting down, just nailing it down to the nitty gritty, right? Like you would put your profile up and you would say, you know, you wanted this, and, you know, these qualities or whatever, kind of like, you know, what they're seeing on these pictures here. But they get down to, well, you know, do you need to be taken out to dinner before you, you know, get to the thing they want to get to, right? At the end, it's like they want to get there quicker, right? So they drill down to the women who just say basically, you know, yeah, we'll just meet and we'll do it. You know, I mean, it's like getting to the finish line faster. It's like not, it's not forming a relationship. It's not going through, the dating process. It's
an unhealthy process doing that sort of stuff as well.
It speeds everything up, which is, again, like I said, this is what the computers do. They speed all processes up to get to that, more money or, to the end goal. It's not about the journey. It's about just checking that box off. And in this case, with relationships, that's what's going to destroy relationships, because you're not building it. You're not working on it. You're not going through the process of getting to know someone. I mean, even friendships these days are not even, they've been cut short too. It's like with all the texting and, nobody has long conversations anymore. They're just texting, we're not sitting down and having a meal together. We're,
meeting socially, you bump into each other at the pub or a dance or somewhere social these days, and there was a big thing for that, where people would be out a lot. We didn't have the technology that we did today. We didn't have the phones in our pockets,
That energy that you get from being close, face to face with somebody, your friends, you exchange energy and you, you nourish each other that way with, like I said, just conversation or just taking a walk together or having a meal or, what have you. But being in the same airspace, your
and having that person-to-person contact. This kind of thing, it's so weird because it can also expose like dirty little secrets. Now, talking about dirty little secrets, one of the other documentaries I watched was about Ashley Madison, their elite dating site. And that actually encouraged married people to have affairs. And, they were talking, people that connected with their people online, well, they were using false profiles. They had created fake profiles. And they were chatting to an actual bot. But the pictures they were using were of people who they found online or whatever. They just, photoshopped it, like you said, and all that kind of stuff. So now they've gone beyond this now, where we're creating the metahumans. They're virtual and they can be super realistic, super realistic. And how would you know the difference? How would you know? If you want and you're looking for something in particular and it just seems so good, is that thing, it's too good to be true. So it's not a real thing that's happening now. What it is, it's your fantasy coming to life. And this is what they're bringing forward. They're bringing forward this fantasy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite full on with this way of the way they're using this AI technology. So it's, I don't even know how far it can go. I'm thinking we're going to see Skynet. What's the, in your country now, what did Trump put out? Stargates. Wasn't that to do with,
artificial? Starlink. You're talking about Starlink?
Starlink is Elon Musk. We have Starlink here. The project that they were doing. But anyway, it's all political. I'm not going to go down that road. But look, there's going to be things put into place in regards to all this kind of thing. Because once again, if we relate back to questioning about what our future is going to look like, monitoring what roles technology plays, just the AI industry, will it get bigger and bigger? Who's going to regulate it? Who's allowed to have control of that? I mean, how far are you allowed to go with it? How far, can you go into it to make money or to do business or whatever it is? It just, the list can grow. It's just basically your imagination. Really. And putting and saying that what you have in your mind, you can now create it and you can make it a reality. You can create that perfect woman. You can create that perfect man. And it's all just virtual, but virtual reality coming to life because of the AI intelligence and the AI technology that's available to us now.
Well, I think that, again, it's just an extension of they've been doing this for so long where they take away the real thing and give you something artificial. For example, we used to live in nature, and now they've brought us into homes and they give us gardens. We get to have little gardens. That's our nature. We have pets. We have plants, indoor plants. That's our nature. But we really probably would be better.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Truthmeets.com, you're on Coast to Coast with Beachy and Verilicious, 19th of February 2025. And you were saying, Beachy, get back to nature. Like, don't nature your virtual reality for yourself.
Right. And here's another example is church. They gave us religions and churches to go to, which, you know, probably when we were out in nature, you know, we spoke directly to God. We didn't need a priest. We didn't need to go to a certain building. You didn't have all these rituals that you did to supposedly show your, you know, your whatever, your worship. You were just out there and you know, in it. I see nature as God, you know, I see the earth as God, as our environment. I mean, even just the air that we breathe, because, you know, we have to breathe air. So that's the life force. And I think that's God too. I think water is God. I think, you know, all the things that we need to survive and be here, that's our nature, right? But anyway, yeah. And like I said, everything that, you know, we've been taught as this is the way it is, it's an artificial simulacra of what we originally were.
Yeah, but we're accepting it as well, though, Beachy. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, we're accepting that into our lives. We want this in our lives because for some reason it's going to make our lives easier. We don't have to depend on this. We don't have to work as hard for this and do that. You know, this seemingly supposed to be, like, flawless for us. We should be able to just, you know, enjoy our lives. But to what extent is
it
going to be,
you know? If you think about it, everybody goes to a job that they hate, whereas, and I was listening to this podcast today, which very interestingly, coincidentally, they were talking about this very thing about quality. The name of the episode was Quality Over Quantity. And, you know, just like I was saying before, you know, everybody wants to rush to the quantity, to the end, you know, rather, you know, just like the woman who, you know, she's got 100 guys in one day. I mean, I don't know what the purpose of that was, but basically it's that's not quality, right? I mean, I don't know. I question the men who even participate in this too. I mean, again, if they're looking for, I don't know, something to satisfy them, would I just find that hard to believe that that would be satisfying to anybody. But again, this is what we've been kind of, you know, this is progress. You know, we value quantity over quality. And getting back to, if we actually were able to do what we wanted to do in our vocation, not just sit around and play video games all day, you know, which is what a lot of people think that's what they want to do, or, you know, but everybody has a gift. Everybody has a skill. Everybody has something that they love to do. And that would be your gift, basically. And you don't necessarily do it for money, so to speak. You just do it because you love to do it. And that fulfills you. That gives you a purpose, and all your insecurities go away because, you know, you feel, you know, there's meaning in your life. And so therefore it solves a lot of problems that we have today. You probably wouldn't drink as much. You probably wouldn't eat as much. You would be fulfilled in your, whatever it is that your you know, your gift or your life.
Yeah. But that's it. I mean, are we really fulfilled if we're looking at these things, or if we're needing to create these exactly. sort of things to make us feel the way we do? Yeah. So, you know, we're talking about moving into the humanoid companions and that. So we've seen movies like iRobot, Bicentennial Man, Chappie, Short Circuit, Blade Runner, the chick was the robot. Just going into all the Ex Machina, there's another one, all these ones here. And it's like, if we don't have anyone else to talk to, what are we going to do? Are they going to create these humanoids for lonely people? So this week on the news, they were talking about tackling loneliness, and it was a company called Andromeda has a humanoid companion, which they've put into the aged care facility, which they're trialing at the moment. So I'll just read you what Andromeda Robotics is and what they're doing. So I'll go just a bit through about this company. So Andromeda Robotics announces world first aged care trials of new AI powered companion robot in Victoria, in my old state. So trials involve Andromeda's prototype humanoid companion robot that has been designed to interact with residents in a relaxed and conversational manner. So it's powered by the ChatGPT-4 artificial intelligence platform. The robot can recognize residents, answer questions, and tailor conversations based on previous interactions. So how is that not our art coming into life? Is it not? Because Bicentennial Man was like that. iRobot was like that, where they were interacting and they were learning. They were learning how to interact and read facial expressions and all that kind of stuff. They used to copy as well when they were being taught. So there's a quote here from the manager at the aged care facility. So she said, "We have been fortunate enough to be involved with the prototype robot named Abby from the very early stages and have watched it grow in both capability and physical stature. Abby now stands at some 120 centimeters tall and can gesture, move its head and eyes when interacting with residents." Right? So Andromeda founder Grace Brown said the initial trial at this aged care facility was a significant step in the ongoing evolution of Abby and would provide invaluable data for the company's development team. So Abby uses a mixture of machine vision, artificial intelligence, and ChatGPT to power its interactions with residents. The robot also relies on nonverbal cues, and we have worked with advisors from animation studios Pixar and DreamWorks to make Abby's body language as empathetic and engaging as possible. How's that? So we're moving more and more into humanoids now.
Well, I would be curious as to, because, like, you know, they're saying this is for old people. Like, what is their response to it? How do they do they enjoy talking to a machine? Or, I mean, they must, I mean, a younger person, maybe
battling loneliness. So like you've got someone who's at this aged care facility that basically would have no interaction except for maybe other residents there who are not in the greatest mental state, but they can interact with a robot who is learning and evolving to understand them. So say, hey, Nana likes to go and play chess or does word find. Guess what the robot can do? Robot can do that with her, you know, keep her company.
Mm. Well, it's essentially a video game, right? I mean, a very...
But the interaction is human.
Animated video game. Because you're basically, again, you're interacting with a machine. It's like a computer video game, only it's got, you know, it looks like a... It looks like an animated being, but I don't know. As far as, like you said, if I was a 90-year-old person who'd grown up with, you know, regular life, you know, I mean, a lot of these people, they don't even interact with computers. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't see how they would, like, respond.
Yeah, because, well, it's not computers anymore, though. Because they've made these robots lifelike as possible, and this is where we're heading into. I mean... Have a look here at Elon Musk with his robots. Now he's got his Optimus, right? So it's a humanoid robot that he's got. So he's actually selling the humanoid robot next year.
Wow.
So it says, in fact, Optimus has already started performing tasks autonomously, like handling batteries in one of Tesla's facilities, according to its earnings report. Tesla will have genuinely useful humanoid robots in low production for Tesla internal use next year and hopefully high production for companies in 2026. So it's
How
once again
I have time.
Taking,
I mean, what the hell?
It's taking away jobs again, right?
He's busy. So that guy's busy.
So we've gone from having, say, working with machinery that might have robotic arms and doing and operating machinery so that you've always got an operator, right? Now we've got robots to take over that job. So there's from a human standpoint, it's all been taken over by a humanoid now, right? Because your life is precious. So to do all the dangerous stuff, we'll just get the robot to go and do it.
Well, I can live with
that. I can understand it from that point of view.
Yeah, for sure.
But then again, you know, taking jobs away from people and stuff like that, well, that's another thing to look at as well. So let's have a look what else we've got about Optimus here. About his robot. So... There's a video you can watch on a site called The Wrap. And it basically talks about Elon Musk unveils the Tesla Optimus robot that can be your friend video, right? So the humanoid can do chores for you for $20,000 to $30,000, right? If you are too lazy to go to the grocery store or open the front door, for your Instacart delivery, Elon Musk has a solution for you. Right? So he's...
Well, I mean...
The Optimus
robot... I would
robot.
Say if you were incapacitated, that would probably be helpful.
Yeah,
like, so
this is like iRobot, the movie, right? Where they had the robots in the house to help their day-to-day. Bicentennial Man was like that as well. The movie was like that as well. So the robot stands at 5'8". So it's an average height. And it's basically your own personal R2-D2 or C-3PO. And what it says, and this is where the movies sort of come to light with this kind of robot, right? But with the movies, they're making them look more human, right? So we put the skin on it, we put the face, the eyes, everything realistic on it, and this becomes the humanoid out of our movies, our movie right? So let's have a look. So what it can do, it can basically do anything you want. It can be your teacher, babysit your kids, can walk your dog, mow the lawn, get groceries, just be your friend, serve drinks, whatever you think of, it will do. So that was a little bit like also Bicentennial Man with Robin Williams, where he initially started off as moving parts, but he had a face, and then they created the skin, and he became more and more human-like. The only difference was that he never aged because he wasn't real. He wasn't human. He was a robot.
But he had feelings.
Yeah, that's the intelligence part, right? So if the AI intelligence is learning and developing, and this is what they want it to do because they're trying to make it evolve more and more, where do you think it's going to stop? Or where do you think it's going to go?
Who gets
to regulate that before it becomes too much? Like we're stepping out of our own reality into a blurred line reality of what we've seen on screen to now what is real life.
It's an insult to us we got to go back to definitions. What is the definition of intelligence? Because just because you know things, that doesn't make you, you know? I mean, we're all have a spark, a spiritual spark to us. We're an individual. We have a whole lot of other mechanisms besides looking up information, right? I mean, that's data. I'm thinking it's just a whole lot of data. I don't see what I define intelligence is someone, you know, who has the ability to think and creatively come up with different scenarios. But in our world, again, here's another simulacra I think that they've thrown against us. And a lot of people seem to think there's only ever two choices because those are the two choices they give us. We think we only have two choices, but we have multitudes of choices. There's infinite possibilities out there, and people get, you know, freaked out about, well, you got to pick this or that. And it's like, no, you don't. You don't have to pick one of those, any of their options. And I think that's, again, another artificial thing that they condition us to believe, that we don't have choices. But, you know, because we can go to the store and pick Coke or Pepsi, we think we have some sort of freedom, you know, but it's like,
why not go for lemonade or
orange, just water
or something.
Exactly. So I mean, there's
too many choices can really confuse a lot of people, so they have to make it simple. But really, when you really look at it, it's not really that simple.
Overwhelms us because, we've been conditioned again in a nice, comfortable little box. And there was something that I used to, I can't remember who, it was a book about your comfort zone. And the more comfortable you get, the smaller your world becomes because you're always depending on that comfort. And actually, see, that's again going back to the intelligence thing, is like you should be comfortable with uncomfortable. You know what I mean? It sounds silly.
But this is where the artificial intelligence can make that comfort level, though. Because if you're creating content, right, that is appealing to someone, that is engaging, and that's the key word, engaging, being engaged in it, It is their world. That's the choice that they have. That's the world that they want to be in, you know?
That keeps you
And whether we think it's right or wrong because we think, oh, no, that's terrible, you know, how can people do that? But we've seen it. You know, the art that brings it to light when we watch shows, when we look at any art, right, whether we're looking at a play, whether we're watching television, when we're listening to music, it's all there. There's, you know, a sight. We have the sight, the sound. you know, the smell, the taste, using our senses, and we're engaging all our senses in all this. And if artificial intelligence can engage our senses, then it's going to draw us in to whatever we want it to, right? So, you know, when it comes to generating the humanoids and that as well, like the companion, you're so lonely, you want a companion, right? You can't speak to anyone else but this robot, this humanoid robot that can do whatever it wants for you, because it's there to serve you. It doesn't have that thought when it says, oh, no, I'm not going to do that now. You know, you do it yourself. It'll not answer you back like another person would. It will just, it's there to please you. It's there to help you, right? And that's what they're doing. So we'll find out in a minute.
Well, that was fast. What's that?
No matter what your age.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Truthmeets.com, you're on Coast to Coast with Beachy and Verilicious, 19th of February 2025. Just talking about the AI, now we're talking about the humanoids, and I just want to get back into that companionship with the humanoids, right? So if I'm remembering back to iRobot, and Will Smith's character is his grandmother, his mother had the robot help, right, was there to help them. So for me, this robotics company that created this Abby, this little mixture of machine and artificial intelligence, to me, that is that art now, which is life is now imitating art, right? So they're creating this now to help people with in aged care, to curb their loneliness. Now, they'll probably help them with if they have a disability. They're just going to progress more and more. So technology is going to move more and more with this now, and we're going to see it. We're going to see this more and more in everything we do. So what did we start with? Did we start with something small, like when you say, hey, Google, turn my lights on, or hey, Google, play me this song? To now, hey, Abby, do you want to play a game? Hey, Abby, can you read me a story? Hey, Abby, can we play chess? Right? They're not doing it now with a computer screen. They're not doing it now on their phone. They actually have a little humanoid that's in front of them now to
Wait,
do this.
You know what that reminds me of? Because I've been watching The Queen, The Crown series, and they have little humanoids, real people that do everything for them too. You know, it's like they don't have to freaking open a door. They don't have to drive themselves anywhere. They don't have to even put on their own clothes. I mean, it's like, you know, everything's done for you. I mean, I'm not sure what the advantage of that is personally, but, you know, I guess that's something that people think that, I don't know, maybe it's some sort of, I mean, again, we're talking about, I mean, if you're got a, you know, broken leg, or you can't get around, and you've got something that's going to help you, you know, you need a nurse or whatever, this is going to take care of it for you. I mean, sure, that's great. But as far as everyone having a personal robot, I don't know.
We don't know. We don't know what the future is going to hold. But like, you know, if you look at if they were going to, say, replace doctors and that with humanoids, because one, they're not going to get sick. They're going to be able to perform the tasks. You know, there's no need for actual human interaction because these things are going to be capable of doing everything, right? And yeah. where is it going to stop? Like, where do we sit now on this life scale with artificial intelligence? Where do we fit in? That's something else. But yeah, it's just crazy. Look, it's fascinating. Like, I absolutely think it's just fascinating that the ability of how technology moves and how we can do all this sort of stuff. And you know, it's a matter of now, like, is this person, obviously who we're seeing on screen, whether they're real or not, we don't know. We tend to question that. And the only thing you can do now is have that person-to-person contact. And until that changes, you know, who knows? Who knows? But, you know, that's the life people want to lead. Like Free Guy, that was that movie with Ryan Reynolds, where he was the computer program there, and then the girl outside who had the headset on, and she was in that game. She had a character in the game, right? And then it became real to her, and this became a real life for her. And then they were searching the real life for him as well. And, you know, this is where we're talking about with the creation of these virtual and AI-generated people, where people are going to think they're going to fall in love, they're going to have a relationship, they're going to have all this. It's not even real, right? It's virtual.
Exactly.
But it's real to them. It's real to them, right? It's real to them because that's the world they live in. And, you know, you can say that it's like Matrix. Right, everyone talks about we live in a matrix, right? No, we don't. Some people choose to live.
Yeah,
in we live that in our situation.
Our brains, right? Our minds.
That's right,
are
and it really, matrix. Yeah, that's right. It really depends on each person, and that's the thing, though. These things can stir up like certain emotions with people, depending on what kind of content you're looking at, right? And depending on what the sales technique it's for. We live in a world of what they call influencers these days, because that's normal to us now, because everywhere we look, somebody is trying to promote something, and next thing you know, there's about 20,000 to a million followers doing the same thing, wanting that product or wanting that look or trying this beverage or eating at this place or da-da-da, you know. Because we want to be with the crowd. We want to follow the crowd. We want to be popular. We want to be with the in crowd. But the person who's influencing it, do you even know if they're a real person? No, because as we find out, they could now be generated artificially.
Right. Well, and there's so many forms. You know, we kind of went over many different forms of AI. I mean, to me, it's like there's just so many uses, like you said, but yet there's also misuses. And again, I'm always thinking, even though they present us with all this stuff, we never actually get it. Like say the flying cars, you know, what happened to those? Or the you know, I don't know, just all the fun things that they always said we were going to get, and we really don't have them. I mean, granted, the phones are pretty fun, but, you know, come to find out, it's kind of like our tracking device. You know, they use them to track us. They use them to listen to our phone calls, our data, our text is, you know, everything is monitored, and I don't know, put in a giant database. And you know, I'm guessing, you know, we've talked about this, where that's where all the AI comes from. You know, they're already creating artificial people. You know, we know that there's bots in all the social media. We know that there's
now probably, bots in real life seems like it. With the introduction of the humanoid robots. Like, you know, that's just two examples. Andromeda and Optimus is the two examples that we have. That's just the beginning. They're just the beginning. Yeah. I mean, how much more? You know, just how much more can it go? So from the laptop to the phone to the TV, now we've stepped out of that and it's in our face. You know, it's in our face now. When they start becoming more and more human-like, so when they transfer that virtual intelligence to the actual humanoids realistically, and what we see, like from Westworld, Subservience and all that, those kind of shows and movies and humans, you know, where do you go from there? Where do you go from there? You know, at some stage, this is where I think having a look at that documentary in regarding to the iHuman is a good one to start, just to, for your own like point of interest, right? And understanding of like where this technology is going to go and who's going to regulate it. What impact is it going to have? Who gets to regulate that? Does the government get to regulate it? Is it local? Is it like federal? Where does it go from here? Do we get a choice? Do we get to choose? Is it going to be like a democratic thing? You know, or do we just get plastered with it and we have to just accept it because it's going to be part of our lives? It's hard to say, right?
Well, I think that's kind of a lot of what's going on right now. There's, like we talked about last week, you know, there's a lot of people looking at all of this stuff, and it is coming out. It seems like there's a lot of that information, and it's coming from the internet, which is, you know, if that was a tool designed to control us, you know, it's certainly backfired on them, or maybe not. Maybe that's just another way to get everybody thinking the way they want us to think. I don't know. I mean, it just seems we're constantly plastered and bombarded with information. It's just like what I was talking about with school. You know, they give you so much information and you can't assimilate it all. So you just kind of give up and then you don't know anything. So that's kind of a scary thing too, because really, what do we know? We only know what we see on our screens. We ask Google. We think if Google says something.
Yeah. Yeah, who goes and searches in the library these days? Who goes and looks through an encyclopedia? Yeah. Who actually flips pages of a book these days? You know, it's one of those rare things. So this is where we become
one, and who's
a little bit more dumber in that sense, right?
Even all the books in the library. I mean, we don't know if even those books in the library were put there for the same reason. I mean, if you go into a library, there's tons of books. You can't read all the books, right? I mean, even when you go to school, they tell you read these certain books. They don't tell you you should go read all the books. They only give you a certain, even though that's a lot, but you know, there's tons of books out there that,
yeah, that's all part of programming, you know, program. we can get into all that as well, but it is interesting that now, and it's been happening for a while now, like you were saying, you know, you did coding and the kids today can learn robotics and also coding, and there's lots of work now in the security division. I remember when we had our pizza shop, there was a young guy that used to come in there, and he was actually studying in university, and he ended up working for a security company that was looking after databases and stuff like that, but he was into doing robotics and coding and stuff like that as well. So that kind of stuff, it's out there. There's obviously a lot out there that we don't actually know. We only get snippets of here and there, unless the person who's working in that industry, unless that's that person who's working in that industry, but they very rarely talk about the kind of jobs that they actually do. you know? But to me, it's like with Alan Turing, the guy who was basically the founder of AI, and that was basically in paper form. And he didn't get to live to see, like, how far it went for him, you know? So what he started and how it's going to end. So imagine. Imagine if you got to see from start to finish.
Well, yeah, you have to live a long time.
A very long time, exactly. But that's like with a lot of things. So it, from, you know, just looking back at the dates of when it started, it goes through a long, long way back. So they were already thinking basically ahead of their time. They already had papers. They already had concepts they were thinking of. A lot of it was actually written down, but there was nothing put together yet at that time because it was just a theory. So when theory becomes reality, so imagine all the inventions that were just theoretical that now have become real. It's it's a lot. It's a lot to think about. And also it's a lot. It would be amazing for the inventors, so to speak, of that time to see it, you know? Yeah. That's where the time machine
Back to the future.
So it is very interesting.
That's fascinating. But again, it's like you were saying about, I think these people have plans, you know, because obviously we know they've written books from way back when, and, you know, a lot of the stuff that they put forth has come to pass. So, you know, there are people that are thinking, you know, of the future, because they know they're very patient. They know these things go tiptoe slow, and you know, they have a whole head start on us, you know, because, you know, they've pass down their information and stuff, and then, you know, we're just kind of, again, in the dark half the time. But as I was gonna say, though, if we were able to be on our own and just create what we want to create and have our own, you know, like I said, we go do the things that are in our wheelhouse and what we enjoy doing and what we're gifted with, you know, talent wise, we could create good things. I mean, who knows what we can create, but that's kind of what I think they're afraid of, is we would create them out of here. Because if you think about it, these quote unquote rulers, or they really don't add anything to society. They're just there to, I don't know, control or dumb down, pretty much, you know, stunt us from, you know, getting to our full potential. And so what is their contribution to society? So technically, if we should just get rid of them, because they are sucking all of our energies off through the money system and stealing all the assets. So it's like, if we could create for ourselves, obviously we wouldn't need them, but they pretend that, you know, they're going to take care of us and we're going to do it for you. And that's when we have to want to do it for ourselves.
It's a design of the system, though, because we are creators when you think about it. We can create.
Yes, but we create what, you know, they want us to create. We create, because they are directing our creation. Right, the imagination, they tell us our imagination is just, you know, ridiculous, don't even go there. But well,
if you set boundaries, then yes, like anything, if they're giving artificial intelligence, as the word intelligence, the green light to learn, to recognize functions, to give them that ability, then we should be so much more than that. We should be so much more than that creation itself, right?
Well, so you're saying
it's not real. So the real, our real creation would be having children, right?
Well, we can create
that's procreation.
A lot more. Yeah, so, that is creation, but we can also create, you know, inventions. We can make, you know, better tools and better homes, better places to, you know, or better environments to live in. I think there is a lot of people out there who are creating, you know, new materials and new ways of, you know, heating your home and using energy in a different way than, you know, we have, like electricity. You know, they say we can get the electricity in a different way, and they're probably doing that themselves and pretending to sell it to us. You know, I mean, there's just a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of stunting going on, and they give us all these bullshit jobs to do that we don't really need to do.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Coast to Coast with Beachy and Verilicious, 19th of February 2025, and AI has come alive. Wow, artificial intelligence, love it or loathe it, it is part of our life. And as we can see, there's been so many movies and so many TV shows about it, documentaries and so forth. It's very fast moving, this artificial intelligence. And, you know, it's probably more in our lives than we think. So for me, I think it's fascinating. There's some amazing things out there for technology, and it's great, but there's other things that really are very, very creepy. But touched a little bit today, you know, back on a little bit of the background to AI coming alive. The sites that you can actually generate and make all these things. Now, you know, if you happen to be watching TV, I mean, I'm sure now people are going to be looking and wondering whether or not that's real, whether that's a real person or a metahuman, because the technology is moving so fast that it becomes so good and it becomes very blurred lines in that fact. Even looking at some of the photos, if you go and have a look at some of the AI AI virtual photos, they're
the
super realistic
that we have come to, you know, like the A-list actors. A lot of them were complaining a few years ago, maybe more than a few years ago, that they were being you know, like they would take pictures of them and put them on a 3D screen and, you know, animate them, but they look like them. You know what I mean? It's like, like they were doing that with Tom Cruise, where he was doing his movies and he was still looking young and not his, I mean, I think he's like 60 years old now or something. And he's still looking like a youngin. So, I mean, I haven't seen him lately, but I don't know. Anyway, like you said, a lot of the actors were complaining that they were, taking their images. So they were using that as a CGI instead of actually having them be on the set and filming them. And, you know, they would just make it all through computer generated. And it kind of was upsetting to them because they didn't need them anymore. It's like,
well, that's right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We become desolate. Like there's no more. Like that's it. You become insignificant now because something else is taking over. You know, you know, it's to make more money for whatever industry it is. So that's what I'm saying. Like people will lose their jobs. There'll be no need for like skills anymore because, you know, the AI is taking over. Basically, when it comes to that. Yeah. So, Beachy, what an afternoon of AI. I might actually sit down and go and watch an AI movie now. Yeah, so, you know, it's, I find it great. Like, I just love finding different bits of information, finding out about OnlyFans. Like, I was only having a laugh about OnlyFans like a few years ago when we found out what it
was.
And now, and now it's all artificially generated, you know, just for the sex appeal and the, it's just, way too much. Way too much information. I'm sure the guys will enjoy it. Look, the girls can enjoy it too. I'm sure you can find a guy there. I have posted some pictures there for Beachy to enjoy.
Yeah, where's the guys, D-Train? Give us some. Give us some equal time here.
How funny. But, so do yourself a favor, guys. If you want to have a look at some of the artificial intelligence that's moving around in our world today, take a look. There are some websites where you can generate. If you're into that sort of thing, you can have a play with it. Now, I'm playing around with some AI in regards to music. I write my own words, but I'm using the AI to help me put the genre of music to it because I don't play guitar or a piano. Yeah, there's certain things you can do. I think you can make it fun, and it just with everything else, you know, just find a balance with that. And I'm yet to see this Andromeda robotics. I'm sure someone in Victoria, my family there, will let me know if they come across this Abby robot, and I want a photo, please, of proof.
Without going into too much detail, one of the things that Donald Trump has promised is that he's going to institute world fairs again. So there's going to be world fairs going on. So I would guess all of this stuff would be showcased in this kind of a platform. So there's something we can look forward to.
Something to look forward to. Exactly. Exactly right.
Yep.
Well, Beachy, enjoy your night. Is night for you there? Is afternoon for us here on the Gold Coast?
Yep. Yeah, I still got some fun to go have. Hang out on the beach.
To enjoy. Yes, that is correct. And we didn't get our visitors. They haven't come through yet, so we're still waiting. There's still a TB. A TBA.
So there's still a possibility, huh? Okay.
There's been a few things happening here in Australia. So we shall see. Yeah.
All right. Well,
my brother just said, did you just reference me? Lol. Let me have a look. He said, I will find this robot lady. Yeah.
Yes. Please. Yes, he will love these girls. These girls are like perfect. It's like,
if one person that can find this robot, it will be my brother. Thank you. He's out there listening. All right. Well, there you go, guys. Hello. Hope you enjoyed AI chat today on Coast to Coast with Beachy and Verilicious. Please enjoy your day, night, whatever it is, and we shall catch you next week with something else interesting in mind. Have a great one, guys. See you later.
Bye-bye.
I find myself wondering, asking why the world seems a little crazy. Oh my, it's just you and me. Hold me tight, tell me that it'll be all right. Crazy world. just go.